Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
You can't talk about the best songwriters and not include him. That's what Bob Dylan once said about Jesse Winchester, who died this year at the age of 69. The tributes poured in, but perhaps the greatest ever paid came earlier in 2009 during an episode on Spectacle, the TV show hosted by Elvis Costello. Jesse Winchester sat on a stool. Next to him, Nico Case, then Elvis Costello and Sheryl Crow. And Jesse played one of his best-known songs, Shamaling Dong Ding, the story of a memory of young love. Oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh. The boys will sing in Shamaling, the summer light we met. You were telling 17, oh, how could I forget?
You can hear a pin drop. You can see Elvis Costello gobsmacked. He said as much later. You can see a single tear trickle silently down Nico Case's face. The video went viral. 2 years later, Jesse was diagnosed with cancer. Fans thought he'd recovered when he suddenly died this year. But he left an album. It's being released posthumously. We now want to bring in the man who wrote the liner notes.
I want a job that's not too demanding, like where
that's Jimmy Buffett covering Jesse Winchester's A Gentleman of Leisure. As we said, Jimmy wrote the liner notes for Jesse's final CD. It's called A Reasonable Amount of Trouble. And Jimmy Buffett joins us from his studio. When you hear this music and Jesse Winchester's voice, what are you thinking?
I miss him. I started as a complete fan of his music. We had kind of similar Mississippi roots, and we had played one show at a music festival in Jackson that actually somebody sent me a video of later, because to be quite honest, I'd forgotten about it. But many years later, I went to see him in Montreal. But I'd always been a huge admirer of his work and had covered quite a few songs.
Well, you know, to explain a couple of things you just said, he was someone who had roots in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Memphis, but he was in Montreal, he was in Canada, because he was a draft resister.
Yeah.
In 1966, he left, when the Vietnam War was heating up, and didn't come back until he was pardoned. He and others were pardoned by then-President Carter. And so people had to make pilgrimages to go see him. What's the draw of the voice and the things that he was writing about?
I think that his clarity of simple songs that just went, you know, right into your heart, not necessarily into your ears when you first heard it. And I'd always also love the fact that he had a great sense of humor about himself.
Yeah, I'm still doing the wrong, baby. I can't seem to quit. If my mama catches us doing the rubber, well, mama would just pitch a fit. But I can't help myself, it's much bigger than me. If I were you, I'd hang on to a rumble man like me.
When he did come back, Rolling Stone called him his voice the greatest of the decade, which is saying a lot for that decade of the 70s. And people like you, you've said you were hearing him sing about places like Biloxi, the Gulf Coast, that's your territory. And you were saying, wait a minute, who's this guy? Let's listen to a little of his song, Biloxi.
Yeah.
The boy will fill his pail with salt and water, and the storms will blow from off towards New York.
Jimmy Buffett, we know Jesse Winchester came to play for a concert you were having, a fundraiser after the BP oil spill. What was his connection like with an audience?
His humility was an amazing thing, and his shyness for a guy on a stage. And it was a big crowd, but he just did what he did so eloquently and so well. They were incredibly moved by the whole thing.
Well, you know, just to, for people who had never seen him, especially early on, he sort of looked like a Civil War veteran. You know, he had this...
He did. You know, that's very funny, Robin, because he looked like one of those guys that would play one of those Civil War battle remakes, you know?
Right. There was always like a deep sadness in his eyes, but as you said, very, very shy, very kind. And the voice we've been talking about, it's been described as a weightless tenor. Let's listen to one of the songs from the new CD. It's called Every Day I Get the Blues.
Every day I get the blues. Every day I get the blues. And anybody laughing,
well, you know, again, he went to Canada 66, 67, was granted amnesty 77. That's a big decade. And a lot of his own music he didn't perform. He gave it to other artists because he was up in Canada and couldn't perform it here. And by the way, speaking of his going to Canada, the cover of the CD is a painting Jesse did for his mother before he left. It looks like a... it's probably her, a sad, you know, a sad woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a song on it that he wrote for her at that time. It's called Ghosts. Let's just listen a little to that. He re-recorded it for the CD.
She's standing in the airport. She's telling me goodbye. She's telling me she loves me. And there are teardrops in her eyes.
Of course, for people of a certain age, that evokes quite a time, you know, people trying to make decisions about their lives. But I'm just wondering, Jimmy Buffett, if he had not been absent for that critical decade, you know, might he have been in the Youngbloods or Crosby, Stills, Nash and Winchester? Or, you know, what might have been?
Well, I wish he would have joined the Coral Reefer Band. You know, I think he would have. He loved being so connected with Memphis music at that time. He may have been more likely to have gone to Macon and been in one of those one of those Phil Walden bands there, or to Nashville. And I think he would have found a comfort level there because Christopherson was there, Mickey Newberry, and I think Jesse would have wound up in that talent pool.
But he might have been better known. And and yet those who do know him just adore him. And here we have this gift. This unexpected gift, a posthumous CD. It's hard to listen to it and not hear echoes of something else. I'm thinking of the first cut, All That We Have Is Now.
Maybe that's the great thing about music, that it does last. And I feel lucky to be able to listen to that. But it's kind of hard to listen to, I got to tell you, knowing all of that and knowing this was the swan song. But I'm happy that we were able to do it.
Well, you had a beautiful line in your liner notes. I will miss him, but the life and works of Jesse Winchester have not been capped. They're like an oil well gone wild on the floor of the Gulf.
I think he'll like that.
Yeah. And the CD is called A Reasonable Amount of Trouble, a title that comes from The Maltese Falcon, the 1940s movie.
Yeah.
Humphrey Bogart used to say, I don't mind a reasonable amount of trouble. And Jesse used to quote that line, so I'm sure he'd love the one you wrote, does love the one you wrote. Jimmy Buffett, thank you so much for helping us remember Jesse Winchester.
Thank you, Rob. My pleasure.
Well, it was springtime when we married. Here comes January. Bring on the ice and storm, 'cause we got love to keep us warm. But don't keep winter waiting. Oh, no, let's go skating. All that we have is now. Together in whatever weather, sunshine in the park. We'll tell ghost stories when it's dark and laugh to hide the fear and cry a perfect tear. 'Cause all that we have is now. Love. feel more than wine. We must do this again sometime, but I can't tell you when. But what a joy it's been. But all that we have is now. Well, I wanted more somehow, but all that we have is now. It'll all